Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert, and you're listening to episode 51 for Monday, February 5th, 2018.
We have an exciting episode for you this week. We're going to talk about the beer we're drinking, also weird shit that happens while we're on airplanes.
And this week, we've got another double dose of crazy news stories.
Did that have enough energy for you?
You know, you're gonna have a hard time letting that go. It's like the, I don't know. I made that one comment just as a little bit of feedback, because I listened to it for myself. And I think when editing, I hear little things that maybe you don't hear later. And it, you know, I know with myself, I have to make sure that I have plenty of energy, because I can get that monotone, just dry.
You're telling me I got to listen to it.
Exactly. And I don't want all of our friends out there, the Two Bobs fans, to be listening to the same thing, for fear they might switch it off.
Yeah, I mean, first impressions are lasting. So, you know, last thing you want is the first sentence that comes out of our podcast to be, "And welcome to the Two Bobs." Yeah. I'm Rob.
Maybe if we do that, I'll have to play some music behind it. But it really goes back, and I know every once in a while we bring these up, but the earlier episodes, particularly number 3, which I hate, we left it in there anyway. I think that was really one where we were both tired. We both just kind of went with that feeling. And I think I'm just terrified to have that again. So I apologize if I offended you, which I know I didn't, because fuck me. But anyhow, how's your week?
I mean, if you think that would actually offend me, you don't know me at all.
I know. I still like to apologize.
So I'm still like breaking this cold. So you can hear my voice. I still sound raspy, and you know, you'll hear me clear my throat and coughing every once in a while. And I still have the fucking Ricolas that I'm sucking on. I feel like I'm basically just living off of cough drops and decongestants, and it's been going on for like a couple weeks now, but I've come to terms with the fact that I'm just gonna be sick for the rest of my life now. So this is me. This is who I am. I'm the guy that just you know, always has a cold for the rest of my life. So how are you doing though?
Well, you're kind of like one of those longtime smokers that kind of just has that new voice.
Since I don't smoke, though,
maybe you should pick it up.
An excuse. I might as well. What's the harm at this point?
Coat your throat with some of that nicotine, and it'll probably smooth right back out.
I mean, what worst case? I just put myself out of misery a couple years earlier.
Who's counting? I'm doing okay. We had a busy week last weekend, like I mentioned in the last episode about the soccer games and baseball. We've got some stuff coming up. We got a potential tournament to go to in a couple of weeks, and my daughter just got, or I guess she passed her driver's test, so that's pretty exciting.
Terrifying? Is it the same thing?
That's what I was about to say. It's as exciting as it is scary. It's kind of cool, but to have somebody else that's dangerous out there behind the wheel besides all the usual crazies, and then just the, you know, I guess she'll be on limited. She doesn't actually have her license. She's passed everything. She still has time that she has to go through and I guess still prove that she can do it before she gets her final license, and figuring out what to do with the car. And, you know, she's been driving my Prius because the other car we have is a Pilot, so it's quite big, and she's petite at barely five something. So she likes my smaller car, but I'm not quite sure what we'll do just yet. We've been looking.
She's got to be like shooting up the HOV lane, shooting the gap.
No. She doesn't know how to shoot the gap because her mother's been teaching her to drive outside of the regular person. I haven't displayed my skills. She's been in the car with me, so she knows about my skills, but she has yet perfect them. I don't know that anybody could shoot the gap like I do.
maybe not. So last week was fun, right? We had our 50th episode last week. We did the Facebook Live thing again. Had a really good time with it. You know, it's nice to do every once in a while. I don't think I could bear doing it every week, but
it's stressful and distracting at the same time. And I think when you initially got the software we talked about, I think originally I was like, oh, we'll do it every week because it'll be really cool. And then you were, I guess, a little bit more reserved. Well, let's save it for special occasions. And now that we've done that, I think that probably actually works a little bit better. Anybody who went and downloaded the episode probably noticed the sound quality wasn't quite what I like it to be. It just records a different way. So it's not quite as clear. But I think just making special events around it, special episodes, and getting people involved was a blast. It does get a little bit distracting as we try to keep things a little, you know, on target, I guess. But I think having it as special occasions, we'll have to figure out when the next one's going to be and make sure to promote it like we did last time. That really, I think, increased the participation that we got versus the first one, which we didn't really advertise, and just whoever showed up.
Yeah. And I mean, just doing it live is just such a different experience because, again, I mean, like when we're recording, we have the opportunity to fuck up and then just like repeat ourselves, and you just edit that part out. Usually, sometimes you don't, but depends. But we have that opportunity. We have like that, like we can call the mulligans as we're going through and just redo it. But once you're live, you have people who are listening, and it's a much different thing. And like you said, you know, like people are talking, and we're trying to keep it interactive, so we have the chat going, and then you'd be talking, and I'm like looking at the chat at the same time, and it's harder to stay on point and on task with everything. And then you have the thing, you know, the technical difficulties, and yeah, you know, and Melissa calling in, which was super nice of her to do, even though it was to give me shit. But you know, she could hear you or she could hear me, yeah. But she couldn't hear us both at the same time. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, but
it is now.
But again, it was one of those. It was live, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. But like you said, you know, every week would be a lot. But every once in a while, you know, if you're listening, I recommend keeping an eye on our social things, and when we'll let you know when a live episode's coming up. And it's fun because you can watch us as you're listening. And so you can kind of put faces with the voices, even though, you know, you may not want to do that, but no. You know, and but you can interact with some of the other people that listen to our show, and you know, some of our famous callers, like, you know, your elderly listener and scary caller and things like that are always in there. So you'll see some familiar faces as well, which is always cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to the next one. Like I said, we'll let everybody know so they can call in. One of the things we talked about last week too was weird sleep issues. And I know we spent some time, and then we went through a shorter list, I guess, than the full list that BuzzFeed had about different things that people do. And my sister called in later and said, we kind of come from a family of sleep. I think she said sleep talkers, and I said sleepwalkers, because I've done both. But one thing was very strange that happened this week, and I'm almost, I guess, giving it away by starting it out that way. But the other night, I was awakened about 10:30, and I look over, and my son's standing there, and he's kind of looking at me, and it sounds like he's upset at something. And I think, well, maybe he's had a bad dream, or he got sick, and I just kind of roll over, what's wrong? And he doesn't say anything. So I ask him again, what's wrong? He doesn't say anything. So I mumble a few curse words under my breath and get out of bed and kind of walk him back to his room. And I he climbs up in bed, and I say, well, what's wrong? And he's still just kind of, you know, sniffling a little bit. And I cover him up, and I said, you know, buddy, what's wrong? You okay? You're sick? You have a bad dream? He still says nothing. So I just tap him on the shoulder. And I said, you know what? Good night. I'll talk to you in the morning, and everything's okay. So I leave it at that. Well, the next morning I ask him, I said, so what happened last night? He goes, well, what do you mean? He gives me this strange look. And I said, well, you got up and you came into my room last night. No, I didn't. Like, yeah, at 10:30. No, I was asleep at 10:30 because I go to bed at 8:00. And I went, oh, shit. He sleepwalked into my room the week after we talked about it on the show. And he had, he had no way to do it, but he had no recollection of coming in there at all. He said, no, I didn't have a bad dream, and I wasn't sick and anything. He just, in 2.5 hours after being asleep, he, whatever reason, woke up, came in, got me. And that's why he was silent. He said nothing because he was still asleep.
Wow.
Just bizarre. It was just the weirdest thing. And I got back to bed, and Melissa said, what was wrong? I said, oh, he just had a bad dream. You know, just a guy, because I felt bad for just, leaving him in there, but he wasn't answering. And I have a hard time with games like that. So if he was kind of, you know, just not answering, I have difficulty. So I was like, forget it. I'll see you in the morning. Everything's okay. You know, his head felt fine.
You're tired. You want to go to sleep.
Yeah, just want to go to sleep. Maybe he woke up and wasn't sure what was going on, but he had no clue. So I told her about it and she just kind of had that look like you did, like, oh man, that is weird. So I guess it's starting. We got to be ready. Luckily, he didn't start to go down the stairs.
Yeah, he's taken after his daddy, you know.
Everybody.
Actually, after
the Klimkowski line.
Yeah, in the Kilimowski line. So it's funny because after we were recording last week, Kelly reminded me of something that I have a really good knack of doing, and that's falling asleep like on a dime. So there's times when I have a knack for like even falling asleep mid-sentence.
Huh.
Or Kelly will ask me a question and I'll answer it, and then literally 3 seconds later I'll be snoring. So I have quite the knack for just falling asleep at the most odd times.
Yeah, I can fall asleep generally, and that makes Melissa a little bit mad because she'll kind of toss and turn and all the stuff of the day is going through her head. But because all that stuff has happened to me throughout the day, I'm usually exhausted. My mind is, as you know, from all the conversations that we've had, my mind really doesn't stop. So when it's bedtime, I lay down and it just shuts down. It's like hitting the power button on your computer. For the most part, it pretty much shuts down. Every now it hangs and I get the little spinning beach ball behind my eyes. But for the most part, I think I've probably done a lot of the same things where we've been talking and then next thing you know, she'll just go and, you know, never mind. Good night. I'll be like, sweet.
Yeah, Kelly's done that before. She'll be like, you know what? I'm just going to bed.
Yeah.
You're not even listening to me
good,
anyway.
Good talking to you. But you know what is good? I got a little bit of taste in my mouth already because I've tried it. But what do you say we get some beer going?
Let's do it.
Hey, bartender, another beer.
Do you like some brews?
Well, what do you got?
All right. Well, this week I have another one from Shorts. Oh. It is not Soft Parade.
Thank goodness.
But it isn't. So I had last week I had the Shorts, the Double Magician, which was a double London style red ale, which was pretty good, but it was a little bit hoppy for me and probably not a beer that I'll drink again. This one, on the other hand, I happened to come across it because I was going out to one of my colleagues' homes after work last week and I stopped by the grocery store behind my office to grab a bottle of wine. And I looked over and I saw this and I'm like, oh, that looks good. So I picked it up and it is a s'mores. It is a Shorts s'more stout. It's a stout brewed with graham crackers, crumbs. God damn it. It is a Shorts s'more stout. It's a stout brewed with graham cracker crumbs, chocolate and marshmallow. And I'm not going to lie. I've had one of these already because I bought it in a six pack. So this is my second s'more stout that I've had, and I really like it. So if I go to the website here, it says that the s'more stout is a specialty beer, and it is a complex stout brewed with graham cracker, chocolate, marshmallow, and smoked malt. The rich, hearty flavors seem to take their turn as the subtle graham aromas lead pleasantly into sweet flavors of marshmallow cream covered in chocolate. All is followed by a slight lingering flavor of smoke. A flaming marshmallow garnish is strongly encouraged. It is 8% alcohol by volume, 20 IBUs, so it's on the low side of the IBU scale, which is kind of my zone. And it's really good. I mean, it stays true to what the description of the website says. So you can taste some hints of graham cracker crumbs. You can taste the chocolate. You can taste a little bit of the marshmallow. It's not overbearing, so it's not. I don't feel like I'm just, you know, drinking a beer that has like a s'more just ground up and shoved in it. But
it's not overly sweet.
It's not overly sweet, but you can taste it and you can smell the aromas. And you really do get that kind of that smoky kind of lingering smoky flavor once you finish the drink as well. I mean, it really does kind of stick around a little bit. So it reminds me of just being outdoors at a bonfire during the summer with the family. We do like to make s'mores, and just the smokiness of it reminds me of just the wood burning in the fire pit. And it's a really good beer. It's one that I could probably just drink year round because it does have the chocolate and things like that, which are always nice during the winter time. But this is also one that I could kind of drink during the summer as we are at the bonfire making s'mores. It seems like it would just naturally go along with that as well. So it's a highly recommended beer. I think when I tasted it the other day, rated a 4.25, I believe, and Untappd.
4.5, I thought.
That's, you know what? I think you might be right. I think it's a 4.5, which for me is not a whole lot of beers that get up into that territory. But this is a solid brew from a solid brewery. And cheers. It's good.
Well, I remember seeing that because I think I sent you a beer that I had been drinking, and then you said, oh, I had a really good one too. And I looked, and we both rated them 4.5. And I meant to talk about that a little bit ago, but the one that I had was the Caramel Macchiato Stout by Old Busthead Brewing, which is here in Northern Virginia. And a lot like what yours was, and that was the thing that I guess really I expected it to be sweet because of the caramel and the coffee, although they're both very smooth, or they can be. But it was amazing. It was 4.5. We each got one down in Williamsburg. We were down there for soccer, and it was so good. And I'm going to try to see if I can get any at the brewery that's up here again in Northern Virginia and see if they have any more and get it in a growler or something, because it was awesome. I don't know if it's available in bottles, but it was on tap at this place, and it was so good. I have to look back and probably see if there's anything else that I've rated a 4.5. I have a couple that I think that I did, but I mean, it was just unbelievable. And I only had the one because I was still so full, but I really wanted another one. But it's rare that I think you get one that's that good that it really pushes that 4.5. But
yeah, I saw the Caramel Macchiato Stout that you had checked into on Untappd. And unfortunately, and I did look on Untappd too to see if possibly that beer was anywhere in my vicinity. Unfortunately, that brewery doesn't distribute up here, but excuse me. As soon as I saw that, it looked really good.
Yeah, it was really good. Now, this week, what I've got is something that's actually quite a bit different, really, but it's a Rogue, and they've got a name. I can't remember. It's not like Rogue Brewery, but it's like Rogue Spirits and something or other. But it's the Hazelnut Brown Nectar, and it's a brown ale, and it's 5.6 alcohol by volume, so not too strong. 33 IBUs, which is a little bit closer to what you would like. And it says, from the hazelnut capital of the United States, this nutty twist on a European brown ale was originally crafted by Rogue brewmaster John Myers' good friend and avid homebrewer Chris Studock. Hazelnut Brown Nectar offers a hazelnut aroma with rich nutty flavor and a smooth malty finish. So I'm going to give it a shot and let you know how accurate that is. A little bit of sips that I've had so far seems like it's on point, but let me give it a taste and see if it matches up with what they tell us.
Yeah, Rogue makes some pretty good beers. I've had some of those before. I actually have some Rogues in the fridge here that'll be coming out within the next couple of weeks here on the show. So I have a couple on tap as well for some future dates.
Yeah, I could have sworn I had some, and I'll have to look at our list to see if I did. But I definitely taste the hazelnut, and it does have that brown ale, which we've talked about in the past, that I don't generally tend to like. But there's another one that I've had the Duclaw Brewing, but that's a like brown with caramel, coconut, chocolate, that sort of thing. But this one's kind of got the hazelnuts in it, which is really good. I am a big fan of hazelnut, so having this one, I like it a lot. I think it's not quite a 4 for me. I would drink it again, and I'd have no problems buying it again. Doesn't really push into that. This is amazing for me where it hits the 4, but it's probably between 3.5, 3.75. I could probably see it for me.
So still a respectable beer.
Yeah, it's respectable. Nice. I would recommend it to anybody if you like browns or if you like hazelnut. It's not overly like the 33 IBUs. It doesn't have a big kick to it. So it is fairly smooth. Again, 5.6 alcohol by volume. It's not really that strong either. So if I had more of it, I would definitely drink it. And I was, because it is brown, I was a little hesitant, but I'm actually very happy with it.
I mean, who doesn't like the browns?
Not a huge. What's the main brown one? I think we've the main brown is Newcastle.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Not a huge. If it's there, I'll drink it. But it's not. I'm not a big fan of it. But I've had a couple of the browns that I've liked so far. I think I'd just be a little bit choosy as to what they mix in with it, like this, the hazelnut or the caramel and chocolate browns that I've had. So anyhow, I like it.
Good, good. So I think what kind of led to me getting sick, you know, it seems like every time I fly, I somehow get sick. Like whether it's getting a cold, whether it's, you know, just like pulling my ass off for a couple of days. Like I feel like just being in that enclosed space with all these people around, hundreds of strangers, mostly that you don't know. I feel like, and then air circulating because, you know, yeah, we just recycle it's that
recycled air.
I feel like.
Do you fly that often though?
I fly a couple times a year.
Yeah.
So usually we take a trip, you know, when we go on our trips to Myrtle Beach, I fly. Every once in a while for other reasons I fly, or Kelly and I, we fly every once in a while to go somewhere, but not a ton, but a couple times a year. How about you?
Usually when I travel, I go from here to maybe New York City for work, and I'll take the train, which is a lot easier than flying, just to go to go that short of a distance. But luckily the times that I have flown have been very good experiences. I've never experienced anything weird with, you know, if you've seen Bridesmaids with the whole, you know, there's a woman dressed in colonial clothes out on the wing. I've never had any like strange experiences on there with either somebody, you know, arguing. And you see a lot of that on YouTube or on the news with people, you know, fighting with the stewardess. Oh, I didn't get enough peanuts, or anybody acting up. Luckily I've never seen any of that.
The worst thing that I ever had that I could think of was I was on a flight and from California, from LAX to Detroit, and there was this guy who was in front of me. He was directly in front of me, now that I think about it, and he had a seat reclined all the way back, which I don't know. Like, I think etiquette says that, yes, the seats recline, but
like, shouldn't
tread with caution. Yeah, you shouldn't recline the seats. Or if you do, I mean, just a little bit is okay, I guess. But anyway, this guy was in front of me, and the whole time he had his arms up, like in his hands behind his head. And dude, he smelled
practically in your nose.
Oh my God, he smelled so bad. He was like some like sweaty Italian guy, and I swear to God, he just smelled like Italian sausage. It was so nasty.
Oh, well, I wouldn't complain about that. But one of the things that I saw this week, there are actually a couple weird plane things that we've had in the news this week. And one of them I started laughing at because it a lot of times when I see these, it makes me wonder what I would do. And it makes me wonder kind of what the flight attendants do. But the first one I saw, and actually it was on Fox News, but there was a woman that was doing yoga on the plane. And the it says the doing yoga on the plane sparks a debate. Nobody needs to see people flailing about on planes. And there's a little video of it, as there always is, because people with phones, they want to record everything. But she's just there doing regular yoga stretches in the aisle. And, of course, she's wearing pants for the occasion. But she seems to be at least cooperating, that if somebody needs to come through, she's getting out of the way. She's not being a jerk about it. But I guess people were kind of upset about it.
Well, it's still kind of weird. I mean, you know, and when I read this, my first thought was, well, this chick is crazy, right? Like, she's crazy, or it's a joke. Like, somebody put her up to it. Like, hey, you know, it'd be funny, stand in the aisle way and just start fucking doing yoga while the plane is in the air. But this chick, her name is Kate Kay. She's actually a yoga teacher who is traveling for training, and she was literally like doing actual yoga, like seriously doing yoga in the middle of the aisle. And if you play the video too, what's funny is at one point you kind of see one of the flight attendants look over like, what the hell is this chick doing? And like she taps the other flight attendant like, hey, check this out. And they're both just standing there at some point. So I just, their reaction would make me think that maybe they don't see people doing yoga in the aisles in airplanes every day.
Yeah, they're not threatened about it. They're not calling the Sky Marshal to come up and break anything up. But one of the comments is there should be rules against this. Nobody needs to see people flailing about on planes. This is not your living room. The other one says, I'm torn because on one hand, it feels obnoxious and attention seeking. But on the other hand, I totally get the need to stretch because flights are stupidly cramped. So like that guy leaning in front of you where he was kind of taken up, and you're a big guy, so he takes up a lot of your space. And then, of course, the smell doesn't help in either. But people just, I think just some of it probably is attention. Just knowing that doing that, she's going to end up either on YouTube or somewhere. And she actually made it into Fox News, so she got what she wanted probably.
I guess so. Or she's just a little bit batshit crazy.
Could be. Now you think she needs that social kind of like
norms
calm down?
Like I'm not social norms. It's not socially appropriate to do yoga on an airplane.
No, but you know there's the whole thing too. With I saw it on the news earlier with people. They need to calm down. They need to bring something on the plane. They bring their. Not like a service dog, but it is kind of a thing. If they've got the anxiety, they've got the calming cat or the small dog that they keep with them that they can kind of pet to calm down. I wonder what other kind of animals people have tried to bring.
So this other story from Fox News.
Holy shit, actually, Fox News is everywhere.
I know. They're on the scene everywhere. fuck me.
You are fake news.
You're telling me. You are Fox News. So the story from Fox talks about a woman who was denied emotional support peacock on a United flight. So this lady literally tried to bring a full grown peacock into the airport to bring onto her flight to help her feel better. It says birds of a feather may flock together, but United Airlines recently shot down one traveler's request to bring her emotional support peacock on a flight departing Newark Liberty International Airport, even though the unidentified woman claimed that she had a second ticket for the peacock, the airline denied her request. Like, it's a peacock.
It's huge, and it doesn't say what size it is, which I'm very curious about, but it looks, based on it standing on the luggage thing, it's probably 5 feet. You know, from the end of its tail to the tip of its nose, it's gigantic.
And so yeah, I mean, those feathers are huge.
Yeah, she's got a veterinarian health form and immunization record to say that she, you know, this peacock is not suffering from any weird diseases. She's got a note from her doctor that says that she needs to have this, and she's provided all the information, but they still, I guess, evidently, according to the airline, which is. It says United. So they basically told her several times, you can't do it. And she still tried anyway, cause she had all these notes, and I don't know. I mean, I know about people bringing the dogs, and I don't know. I think the peacock is just a little bit much.
I mean, it is huge, but, you know, and it seems like support or, you know, the opposites of support, you know, there's the people are arguing both sides of the argument here. So one person says, unbelievable. This has to stop now. And then another person says, I'll take the majestic peacock over the 5 foot, 5+ dogs that have attacked my coworkers just this past holiday season. So, I mean, it's just weird, but at the same time,
That's the only way to describe it.
It is just a peacock, though, but still, an emotional support peacock. Like, if you're at the level where you even think in your brain, not only that you think this is a good idea, but you go as far as, like, purchasing a ticket for the peacock as well. Like this person really thought this through. Like, I'm going to bring this peacock. I'm going to pet the peacock. While we're in the air and as we're taking off and landing, this peacock is going to make me feel safe and comfortable. I got to tell you, if the plane is going down, fucking peacock isn't going to help you. It's not going to do anything. Yeah. It's a fucking bird. It'll probably fly. Do they fly?
No, I don't think so. They're too big.
Oh yeah. It's going down with the plane then. I was going to say, like, you know, if you had like a pigeon or something on there, that pigeon would be fucking gone, right? But
what do you think, you mentioned that the flight attendants were there, they were kind of looking at her, what do you think the weirdest things that they've ever seen are?
Well, funny you should mention that, because there's a Robert, coincidentally, there's an article from Business Insider.
You found a list.
Titled, here are some of the weirdest things flight attendants have seen in their line of duty.
And the first one really is duty, by the way.
Oh, man. So I give flight attendants a lot of credit just for what they do. But also, I can only imagine what some of the things that they've seen just in their, again, their line of duty. And by the way, hold on a second. I have a fucking content blocker on Safari and Business Insider doesn't apparently.
I had to turn that off too. I kept trying to get around it, but then it was just popping up. So I disabled the my ad blocker on here. So the first one is like I said, it is duty. And since I like to be odd, I'll go with the first one. It's dirty diapers in the seat. So I've never changed, although he's never been on a plane anyway, but if I change the kid, I'm doing it in the bathroom and I'm doing it somewhere, and that shitty diaper is definitely going somewhere besides in the little pocket where the SkyMall is.
Oh, hell yeah. So, and I have changed a diaper on an airplane, although usually I leave that shit to Kelly. Usually I leave that shit to Kelly, no pun intended. But still, yeah, to leave the diaper in the seat, that's pretty gross. And I don't know if we've had any of our kids actually take a shit on board, but I can only imagine. Because when you go in the bathroom, there's a little pull-down, like, changing station, which is, it can't be more than maybe like 36 inches from one side to the other. They're very small. And, you know, and even that, it's like, I don't know if I want to put my kid on that. But anyway, so the other thing that some flight attendants have seen is poo smell enough to land a plane. So BBC reported in March 2015, a British Airways flight from London to Dubai was forced to turn around because of a smelly poo. Bishak Shekdev, who was on board the flight, told BBC the pilot made an announcement requesting senior cabin crew, and we knew something was a bit odd. About 10 minutes later, he said, you may have noticed there's quite a pungent smell coming from one of the toilets. He said it was a liquid fecal excrement. Those were the words he used. So they literally turned around and landed the plane so they could, and the airline put him up in a hotel overnight in order to not have to deal with the liquid fecus anymore.
Well, like you said, that air is recirculated and circulated and circulated throughout the cabin for the duration of the flight. So if it's a long flight, it's never going to go away. It's not like in the car where you can just kind of crack the window and let some of it out. It's just going to go on indefinitely. And the third one is, we just talked about this, but emotional support marsupial. So this clown brought a baby kangaroo and a little, looks like a little pouch bag that he went on his own stomach or her own stomach. So they decided rather than a peacock, they brought a small kangaroo.
That would probably be an easy way to smuggle things onto the airplane too. Just, I mean, they come built in with a pouch, or the females do anyway, right?
Yeah, it's in the pouch, and then it's got another pouch on there. It's pretty cool.
A lot of layers to get through.
This one, the next one here is our friend Tobias, caller.
Yeah, I think he was trying to do an upper decker, but then realized that there was no bowl that he could get into. So he did what was second best. And this one says a passenger stood on top of the toilet. A passenger stood on top of the closed toilet and defecated. A flight attendant with 30 years of experience told Business Insider. Man, so just shit right on top of the toilet seat. Oh, Tobias.
Dangerously impatient passengers. In 2014, a passenger on China Eastern Airlines plane said he wanted to get off the plane quicker, deployed the emergency slide after the aircraft landed. The incident caused the aircraft to be delayed for 2 hours and reportedly cost $16,000 in damage. In April, a United Airlines flight attendant pulled the same stunt. I guess they were off for the day and weren't going to get any overtime, so end the day quickly and pull the little slide out.
Maybe the patient was the patient. Maybe the customer was just,
getting away from the poop smell, probably.
Yeah, maybe somebody you know, shit their pants on the airplane, and so the passenger had to get off. Or maybe the passenger was the one that shit his pants and needed to get off super quick. It reminds me of a time when we were flying from, I think Vegas. We were flying, I think it was when we were flying from Vegas to Detroit, and there was some bad weather. Apparently there was like a really quick storm like blowing through Detroit. So they diverted us into this like to this like tiny little airport in Toledo, Ohio. And I remember landing, and there was this chick that was up front, and she was just in tears, and she was freaking out. Like, all of her, like, makeup was run. She had, like, a pillow that she was, like, clutching, and she was freaking out at the front of the airplane trying to get off the airplane. And she was begging the flight attendants, please let me off this airplane. And the flight attendants kept saying,
"Soft parade."
And the flight, I know, right? And but they kept saying, listen, you're not getting off the airplane. If you do, you're not getting back on the airplane. It's against FAA regulation. They did eventually get her to calm down and like sat her right in the front seat next to them. Man, she was just freaking the hell out.
Tranquilizer dart to the neck will do that.
I'm telling you. Another one is exploding e-cigarettes. In March, Delta Airlines flight was delayed at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport after an e-cigarette belonging to a passenger ignited on board the flight.
Right.
While they're permitted on planes, as long as they're not checked, the lithium-ion batteries in e-cigarettes have shown propensity to ignite if they're damaged because they're using cheap Chinese lithium-ion batteries.
Now, this one would freak my sister out because she's got a little bit of thing with spiders. And I mentioned a couple weeks back about the bird, but this is a giant spider that's probably about the size of my palm. And it's a spider that's on a plane. It looks like the guy's, tarantula. He looks like he's trying to catch it. What looks like maybe a can?
A can or a cup or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that. Okay. Get me off that plane.
I'm going out the window.
Yeah, I don't think they really bite, and I think they're rather harmless. I don't give a shit, though. I'm getting out the fucking plane if there's a big hairy spider.
Put my boot on it.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't see evidence of that thing just being fucking smashed to smithereens, I'm off the airplane.
Now, if that was somebody's emotional support tarantula, would you be okay with it?
No. You know what? I'd take a whole gaggle of peacocks on the airplane before one tarantula. I'll tell you that much. The other one is, so the next one here is strange item request. A flight attendant with a pen named Betty writes in her online series, Confessions of a Fed Up Flight Attendant, that the strangest things people have asked for on planes are actually fairly ordinary items. What's surprising is what some of these items would be used for. Items requested include tweezers for pulling thorns out of a passenger's butt, a pen to clean ears with, a screwdriver to take the seat apart, and a cup, lid, straw, and knife to make a catheter.
Oh, man.
Sometimes you just gotta fashion yourself a catheter MacGyver style on an airplane.
It was straw, one of those little stir sticks that you use for coffee, hopefully.
Oh, that's not efficient at all.
Big full straw. The funny thing is the pen to clean ears with, and that reminds me of an old boss of mine that used to use whatever he had around to clean his ears, mostly paper clips. Unfold the paper clip and just kind of dig around in there and scratch.
Didn't you have the guy that stored nails in his desk too?
It was the same boss, but the guy that did the nails was not the same guy that cleaned his ears with the paper clips. But he was our boss at the same time. So he was aware of the paper clips, or actually, I guess the fingernails.
He was probably okay with it because he's like, well, who am I to judge? I clean my fucking ears with paper clips. So, oh, man.
Is this me? Yeah. Oh, look, it is. It's a bad number.
You. I did the last one. It's your turn, buddy.
I quit paying attention.
There's no numbers, but.
Nine out of 27. We won't do all these, but.
No.
A flight attendant with 3 years of experience told Business Insider that she's gotten her fair share of strange announcement requests. One gentleman was angry, and he asked me if I can make an announcement over the PA. When I asked him what he wanted to announce, he said, "Somebody in the vicinity is passing gas, and I need them to stop," she said. Another passenger asked her to make an announcement, asking a neighbor passenger to give up the armrest. Passive-aggressive at its best.
That is. Why not just get somebody else to do your dirty work? Some of the other ones out here. I'm going to skip through a couple here. Animals left on planes. More than 700 international cabin crew members told Skyscanner in 2013 about items they found on flights after passengers disembarked. Animals accounted for several of the more unusual items on the list, including a falcon, a dried fish, a frog, a tortoise, and a parrot. Hopefully, the falcon probably killed the fish and the frog and the tortoise and the parrot. Maybe it was one flight. And the peacock.
They were all in a bucket.
Beat them all.
Yeah. Now, the thing about it is, too, and I like ramen noodles, and I tend to just eat the noodle part. I usually don't want to drink the liquid because I think the sodium's probably kill me in a couple of minutes. But this one says people who make soup with airline water.
Oh,
that's gross.
I don't even want to shit in airline water.
No. There's no splashback. Forget about it.
Oh, man. It says among the strangest were people who made soup using the airline water. Guys, the water lines haven't ever been cleaned ever, she said. Oh, man, that's disgusting. Somebody just laid a baby in the middle of the aisle and just let him chill there.
This other one here is unfortunate accidents. Betty writes that passengers tend to get more inebriated on flights to Las Vegas, probably from Detroit. In his drunken state, one passenger passed out while he was in the restroom, fell backwards, and ended up on the floor with his fly still down and his privates exposed. After much debate among the attendants what to do, they finally decided to get the long metal tongs that we used to serve bread in first class to move the exposed body part back into his pants. He didn't feel a thing. And they probably went about serving the bread.
Oh, man. Oh, here's somebody who found a Coke Zero bottle with piss in it.
Probably from our friend with the catheter.
Probably, yeah. You got a little bit of leakage from the catheter.
It's got to go somewhere.
People found some just really interesting things up in the skies.
Yeah, that's weird shit. I'm trying to figure out the next time we're going to fly. Benjamin keeps asking about going down to Disney World, which is down in there in Florida. And we've been talking about it. So that'll probably be the next time we fly. Maybe in the spring sometime. Well, I guess that's shit. That's coming up soon. Probably not.
Chances are the next time I'm flying will be in August. But if we fly before then, or even when we do and fly in August, I'll be sure to let you know if anything crazy happens.
Drink some emergency before you go.
That's another thing I've been living on. Every morning I'm drinking emergency. Again, it's an exercise in futility trying to get rid of this cold.
I've got a box of that on my desk, and the instructions specifically say to take one per day and then to not exceed that allowance. But I have somebody at work that says, "No, I drink them every 2 hours." And I was like, "No, you can't do that." It says specifically on the box. There's a reason. Yeah,
the manufacturer would like you to drink it more often because you'd go through it more often.
Yeah, and they're fucking expensive for that box. But she's like, no, you drink them every couple of hours. And they were arguing with me. I said, no, it's specifically, you know, how I can be. That's probably why they were doing it. But yeah, that was nuts. But speaking of crazy, you ready for crazy news?
I am ready for crazy news.
All right. Now you're doing your second beer, and I'm stopping at the one because I got to make sure I don't have a headache tomorrow in case I need Excedrin, and I've got a big work thing tomorrow, which will probably involve some alcohol, so I need to be mindful. I want a second one, but
yeah,
I'll let you handle that.
So I started, and by the way, again, the s'more stout was delicious. I've gone to one of my other faves. It's the Buffalo Sweat Oatmeal Cream Stout by Tallgrass. I feel like I bought a six pack of this and I've drank about 20 of them. Like, I don't know why I keep finding these cans of Buffalo Sweat, but like I've drank it a million times and I don't keep buying it, but I keep finding it. It's weird.
Is that, well, I don't remember, and neither are you, but I think there was one where I told you to go back and get some more. That one's not seasonal, right? That's just a regular,
yeah,
everyday beer from them. Okay.
Sure is. You can get Buffalo Sweat whenever you want.
Hey, thank goodness. So where are we starting today?
What a world we live in today. Well, you know, nothing. Hold on. Let me see. Oh, my God. You want an ad blocker. Fuck you.
I know. I got one. And I think you can just say okay and it goes away.
Okay. Maybe it does. It doesn't want me to pay them money. Like,
right. They're like, we don't want any money. We just want you to let us show our ads.
All right. So our first story takes us to Seville, Spain, which I feel like we've been to before. In crazy news, they're like the Florida of Spain, maybe, that town of Seville. And it's, you know, we've all loaded our cars up with things, and sometimes, you know, usually it's we're moving, we're helping somebody else move, we got a big trip and the whole family gets into the car, or sometimes maybe we've just stolen a bunch of oranges and we're trying to get away with it. So police in Seville, Spain came across this bizarre scene when they pulled over two cars, not just one, but two cars, after a short chase. According to Europa Press, officers suspected something wasn't quite right when they saw the cars driving very close together. When they tried to pull the cars over, they took off. A short chase through a dirt road followed. The news agency reported inside the vehicles, police found, you guess,
oranges.
Oranges.
So the one of them looks like it's a, and that maybe that's the police van. They've got them all bagged up. But in the other one, it looks like an older Corolla. And basically, they've opened the door, and the oranges have just kind of spilled out. Like they fed them in there, and I guess left the window cracked open enough to just keep filling it. And as soon as they opened the door, everything came out. So they weren't bagged. They were just completely filling up the car outside.
The car vomited oranges.
And it looks like they've got some cardboard that kind of blocks the oranges from the back seat so they don't spill up into the front. But two cars just completely, and one of them looks like it's a hatchback, and the back is just full. You can't even see out the back. The whole car is full of oranges.
Yeah, a lot of oranges there. They found a big van with oranges, too.
Oh, yeah. They found the truck also packed with oranges. Altogether, police recovered more than 4 tons of oranges.
Shit, that's a lot. A lot of oranges.
That's more than 3 tons. The drivers claim they were coming from very far away and had been stopping and collecting the oranges along the way. But the cops didn't buy it. They later learned the oranges were stolen from a shipment. They charged 5 people, a couple, their adult son, and 2 brothers with theft.
So what's funny to me is
4 tons of oranges.
So these people, they get to this family, they say, you know what, guys, we got to pull off a heist. We need to.
There's diamonds over here and behind this door.
It's oranges. It's like orange gold.
The flu bug is really bad, but you know what we can do? We can kill the flu outbreak over here in Seville if we just give everybody an orange.
I mean, if we get 4 tons of oranges and sell them on the black market, we'll probably make like $150.
Now, if you had gone to Seville instead of wherever you went in Florida, you probably wouldn't be so sick right now.
Because of all the vitamin C in the oranges. The
vitamin C. That's right.
That's
and true. Those you can have multiple every couple of hours. It's not like that witchcraft of emergency that you can only have once a day.
Well, so that's my thing. Like, it's just a vitamin C supplement. So how many oranges do I have to eat in a day to overdose? I've never seen a warning like only 2 oranges and no more than that or you'll die.
Because nobody's going to eat that many oranges.
Stupid people.
The little clementines I can eat a bunch, but not an orange.
Well, they're smaller.
It's that white shit all over it.
They're smaller.
Got to peel that off.
So every website we go to tonight is just going to warn me that...
They really want you to see their ads.
Select your ad blocker. I already did select my ad blocker, you fucking dickwad. Let me just see the fucking website, son of a bitch.
I don't know what I did, but I got it up here. And this goes to our friends. Well, it's my friend up north in Pennsylvania. And it's this guy here, and we don't always, but a lot of times we tend to have something with 911 involved, and I'll spare the phone call this week because it makes you upset. But there's a man arrested on burglary charges after police say he accidentally called 911 from inside the building that he broke into. Police in Ephrata were dispatched at 4:12 a.m. Tuesday to the Ephrata Review Building on East Main Street for a report of a 911 hang-up call. Officers arrived and found a glass door of the building smashed. Upon searching the building, officers found 28-year-old Brendan Allen Waver in a hallway, according to police. They described him as naked and clearly under the influence of a controlled substance. The office area of the building was reportedly ransacked with damages exceeding $5,000. They believe he accidentally called 911 from an office phone as he ransacked the building. It's ransacked twice in a row in the same sentence there. Waver will be arraigned. Oh, they said Waver up there. Who's checking this shit? Waver will be arraigned on burglary charges sometime on Tuesday.
Damn that Penn Live and their mistakes. It's all fake news. See, so
just relax on the ad block and they would have figured that out.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. Well, I was upset. But okay. So
there's no paywall here, Rob.
It actually said that too. So Waver or Weaver, depending on what paragraph you're looking at. So just to summarize, he breaks in to a building by smashing the door. At that point, he decides to undress himself. And then
was he naked before he went in, well, or did he get naked inside?
Well, that's hard.
They don't give us these details.
They don't tell you. Yeah, they don't tell you if he was naked upon entering or if he unrobed or disrobed after he entered. But nonetheless, he was naked. And if I'm naked, I'm thinking, God, I should get indoors. So he smashed up the door. The glass door of the building, yeah. Enters and then says, God, I'm in this building in the middle of the night.
Use the phone.
Yeah, 4:12 a.m. I'm completely naked. Why don't I just smash the place to smithereens? And then somehow he manages to call 911 on accident as he's doing all this.
I like the comments. First one says, nearly as good as the Texas inmate who got busted while busting back into jail with barbecue.
But Trumpet says if you don't call 911 on yourself while naked and intoxicated during the commission of crime, it was not an accident. It was karma. What an idiot. Oh, man.
Well, you got a good weekend plan coming up here, I hope. Going to relax a little bit, trying to get your cold to go away.
Yeah, no, it's never going to go away. We've discussed this. But I do have I got a busy day tomorrow. At the office, and then I stayed at work late tonight, so I feel like I need to reward myself by leaving early tomorrow, so I'll probably do that. And Saturday, going out with the wife to a nice dinner. Maybe we'll go to Home Depot or Bed Bath & Beyond if there's time. Nice. No, we have a babysitter coming over for a couple hours on Saturday, so we're going to go be husband and wife for a little bit. How about you? What do you have going on? What does Bob K have going on?
Bob K.
Well, the ladies are heading out to more soccer and the boys are staying home. Might have a little sleepover. My son wants to have a friend that he stayed over at his house a couple weeks ago. So we got to, I think, return the favor sometime. Just got to reach out to his dad. But otherwise, probably relaxing. I'm excited. By the time this episode will come out, the Super Bowl will have already happened. But I am excited to watch that and hoping for an Eagles victory. So we'll see if I'm right by the time this drops.
I'm hoping the Cleveland Browns win.
Well, yeah. One day.
One day. One day they'll win a game, and then, you know, they'll be one game closer to making the playoffs.
One game in 2 years, man. Even the kids. We had a
even the birthday Lions party. Can do that.
Yeah, we had Ben's birthday party. I guess it was early December, and even the kids are 7 or 8 years old. Were calling the other kids as a form of like trash talking. They were calling them the Browns of laser tag.
That's awesome. That's hilarious.
Is that episode 51?
That's it.
Woo, good one. As always, you can reach out to us. We do have phone numbers, text machines, emails, websites, all the social things. You can find all that.
We should get a fax number.
I could probably make that happen.
Let's get a P.O. box.
We do need that. You can find all the different ways to reach us at thetwobobs.com. There's a phone number there, all the social things, way to email us. So we look forward to hearing from you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel Beat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.